Today on Real Radio.
Therefore, I remind you to stir up, agitate, get it moving, the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of hands, or the laying on of my hands, he says.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues now in his verse-by-verse series through Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. We're looking at the second half of chapter 12 today, where the Apostle Paul talks about you and I as Christians and how we're to do church. Paul uses body parts as analogies for the various gifts that different believers have within the body of Christ. In fact, a lot of folks find the language in this part of the Bible to be humorous at times. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now in a lesson called A Working Church is a Living Church.
It is a display of love. It is an announcement of love. It's an amazing thing. Jesus says this is the example in serving one another. Secondly, it's this, it's caring for one another. Design feature number two is that we are to care as a church for one another. He says, and if the ear should say, again, ears don't have mouths. Because I'm not an eye, I'm not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? What if the ear decided that it was going to leave? I'm out of here. I'm not happy with the way things are going. I'm not happy with what I'm hearing. And the ear leaves. Imagine your ear jumping on the table and going down. What kind of a human would we look like? Stuff would be falling off. Things would be moving into positions it ought not to be. We would look just like Mr. Potato Head. Some churches are just like Mr. Potato Head. Some people's lives, some people's homes are just like Mr. Potato Head. And the ear says, you know what, that's it. And it's complaining and it's griping about its position or its place in the church. We need to wake up and realize that as a church, we have been put in a place to be used by God in a very specific area. My calling is to be a teacher. Pastor, the word of God. Teacher, I know this. This is what I do. It's not to showcase. Listen, right now we have lights. The stage is elevated. This comes from the book of Ezra. So we can see one another and interact with each other. It's not to showcase the gift of teaching. For 45 minutes, you and I are together. And the Holy Spirit is using the gift of teaching right now. For you to be refueled, instructed, taught for the week, and you go out, and this is just, by the way, a little bit of accent to your daily Bible reading, and God will speak to you, and God will send every true believer out into the world to function in their specific place, both in the world and in the church. God has given you a gift or gifts to use, and you need to know what they are. You really need to know. By the way, in the course of these next several months, we are even going to have on a Sunday morning, we're going to wind up stopping a service, and we are going to be praying, laying hands on you. We're going to have prayer exactly as the Bible dictates it ought to be, and encourage you to find out what your gift is for the body of Christ. Do you know what I think? If we're serious about that, you know what's going to happen? We're going to have a little personal revival here in this church. People are going to start loving on each other, caring for one another. It's going to be absolutely amazing, which leads us to this. They will be loving on one another. Look at verse 17. Design feature number three is love. Loving on one another. Serving one another, caring for one another, loving one another. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing or where would the hearing be? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smell? I heard of a youth pastor taking a football. He was teaching on this verse, and he took a football and he spray painted it white and he painted a huge iris on it. And then he wrapped it in a baby blanket and he walked into the youth group and they go, what do you got? He goes, oh, I want to see my baby? I got a baby here. And they all leaned over and he opened it up and it was this gigantic eye looking at everybody. And they went, that's gross. That's sick. And then he went on to teach. If everyone is just an eye, what would the church be like? Think about it. If everybody just thought, I'm going to be an eye, everybody would be like this. And knowing the human heart, how would we be? What would we be looking for? Who messes up? Can you imagine everybody's an eye? You know what? When you get too many eyes together, things get really critical. Right? If you get too many ears together, there's not much grace. That's why God the Holy Spirit distributes into each and every church just the right amount of gifts as needed. Here's the beautiful thing about every church in the world, which comprises one church. Every church where there's born-again believers, as the Bible here says, every local body of believers, God gives certain attributes of gifts so that that church can make, watch, an impact in the area that God has called it. And that's why this particular church makes an effect or makes a difference in the area that God has called it to do. Eyes will cry about it. People who are just mouths will complain about it. People, listen, that just simply means they're not supposed to be at this church. Well, we don't think that the church should stand for this or the church. You know what you're saying to us? You're saying to us that you actually belong at a church that excites you in the area that God's called you. We love you. Go to that place to grow where God's called you. It happens all the time. It's nothing to get personal about. You need to find that place, that church. It's like, man, I found a church where I can grow and I can get involved and give glory to God. Find that church. And notice this. It's not going to be every church. Can you imagine? If it was every church, then there would be a gigantic church of the eye. We belong to the first church of the eye. No, it's all sprinkled, peppered differently. It's beautiful. And Jesus in the midst of it all. It's a glorious thing. We are to be loving one another. Jesus said in John 13, 34, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another. As I have loved you, that you also love one another. Is that awesome or what? It's glorious. Point number two today, verses 18 to 27. A working church is a living church because you and I share a God-ordained value. A God-ordained value. Number one is assignment. You've been assigned or set. You see verse 18, but now God has set the members. Again, it goes to creative design. It goes to God's engineering. God says, I want those who are noses to be right there. I want those who are arms to be right here. He desires that. He designs that. Here's the great thing. You don't want to be fighting against God's design. You want to say, Lord, what is your design for my life? What is your ordained value for me? And this assignment is all important. Listen to what that word means, assignment or set. It means to put into place. It means to kneel down and to set the stone. It means to ordain the place or the thing for a specific purpose. Watch this. It means to display it, to use it. The word means the union, agreement, understanding between an architect and a builder. Isn't that deep? The Bible says God is building a house. God is building a kingdom. God is building us into the temple of the Lord, he says. Now, 2 Timothy chapter 1, this is encouraging to me. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 5 to 6, when it says here that the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Isn't that arrogant? Nor the head to the feet, I have no need of you. 2 Timothy chapter 1 is an awesome verse. Paul told Timothy... By the way, this is a good way to remember this. Timothy, this is an interesting thing to remember. Timothy's his name, how you pronounce it in English anyway. Timothy was guilty in the Bible. Paul was always trying to encourage him because Timothy happened to have been timid. Timothy struggled with being insecure in the faith or scared to step out, thinking that if he did, it would fail. Timothy felt often, I don't know if this is going to work. I don't know if I got anything to offer. Do we not all feel like that? Are we not all like Timothy? Watch this verse. I love it. Listen to his dad in the faith, Paul. Verse 5. When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, I am persuaded is in you also. Therefore, I remind you to stir up, agitate, get it moving, the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of hands, or the laying on of my hands, he says. Isn't that amazing? Watch this. There's going to come a time, as I said earlier, as a church, on a Sunday morning, we're going to stop the service, and we are going to pray. Each of us will put, we'll lay our hands on one another's shoulder, or maybe we'll just have people come up here with all the pastors and prayer elders, and we'll begin praying for those who, listen, want to seek God to find out what their place is, where their place is in this church. How cool will that be? If you pray and you say, Lord, I'm so open, let me know, and we pray for you, Lord, just let our brother know, speak to him, it's your will that he knows, open his ears that he would hear, and Lord, show him what gift it is that you've engineered for his life. In Jesus' name, amen. And then we're going to look him right in the face, look that lady right in the face, and say, now as you go from this place, be watching for God to speak to you about what gift or gifts he wants you to use. And I guarantee you, now it's solely up to you listening to the Lord. And if that excites you, he'll blow your mind. You will not be disappointed. Well, it's not only assignment, it's usefulness. Our second ordained value is youthfulness found in verses 22 to 24. Can God use us? Look at this. No, listen, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. Think about people who pray and you don't even know who they are. Do we need them? We need them the most. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, well, who needs that guy? Uh-oh, on these we bestow greater honor. Don't underestimate anyone in the body of Christ. And our unpresentable parts have greater modesty, but our presentable parts have no need. Look at this. But God composed the church, the body, you and I, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it. What are we saying here? Well, number one, we know this, the church at Corinth had incredible gifts. I mean, look at this church. They had a huge collection of gifts in one church. Not all of the gifts, but a lot of them. But this is amazing to me, is that God has assembled it with a specific point of usefulness. I don't need to belabor this. I'll simply put it this way. This is, to me, terrifying. Christian, listen. In fact, I appreciate before services started this morning, I have a brother I pray with. It's the last thing I do before I come out here. There's prayer going on at certain times of the morning, but then I have a brother that he and I just get together and pray. And he didn't know my notes. He didn't know that usefulness was in my notes. And he said, Lord, just make sure, empower Jack, come upon him so that his efforts today are honoring to you and useful to the kingdom. And I heard that and I went, yes. Why? Why? Because God has designed, listen, God has designed everything he has made for a purpose, and you he has made for a purpose. And it's awesome. And by the way, you can't even clearly define it until you live it. Until you're at the end of your days and you look back and you go, wow, thank you, God. To think, though, for a moment, to be unusable to God, to me, is terrifying. To be unusable. Can you say, don't say it, don't raise your hand, but can you say right now, where you're at, I know what it's like to be used by God? If you know that's true, then you'll agree with me on this. In fact, let me preface by saying this. There are women today that are caught up with materialism. Or there are women today that are caught up with a desperate, desperate internal need of me time. I hear a lot of that these days. I'm going to abandon my kid for a while. I need me time. Not knowing, you are actually preparing the last few steps of your demise. You've been deceived. Me time will destroy you. I hear men today of saying, you know what, I just got to get some fresh air. And you run from your problems. Or men today will say, well, you know, I guess dealing with pornography is just something every man's got to do. Just every man's got to find his own way. wrong. And all these areas, watch this. In all these areas, if you know what it's like to be used by God, you will cherish that, protect it, and defend it at all costs. If you're tempted to gossip or go to that chat room to talk to your old boyfriend from high school, you will not, because you fear that God may not use you. You might trip up and fall, and God might not use you again. If you have that temptation to click on that site, you will not, because you won't sacrifice being used by God for one stupid click. When you determine to love God and what he's doing in your life more, you won't know what I'm talking about. But if today, and I don't care, listen, you're going to write me letters. Remember, sign them. I don't care what your issue is. I believe God has engineered us this way, that no matter what life has done to us, I don't care if you were born Helen Keller and sexually abused, drugged behind a bus, and made fun of. I don't care if you were bullied. I don't care what has gone on in your life. I believe God has engineered the Bible under the power of the Holy Spirit to set you free from anything that's ever happened in your life. That's how big my God is. That's how big your God is. He can do this, and he does this. And when you take that and you apply that for 30 days in your life, personally, I don't think it takes 30 days. It can take 30 hours. You apply that time, that effort to God, and let him work with you in life, you'll look at the stuff of this world and say, get out of here, you pathetic, weak, ignorant temptation. We only trip up when we get our eyes off of God. Ask King David, huh? He's amazing. Why? Usefulness. The next thing is relationship. Everything you and I know about is based upon relationship. We share a God-ordained value, and the third one is an ordained value, relationship. That there should be no schism. Look at verse 25, division, splits in the body. Can you imagine? Here he's talking about the unity of a body, and he's saying that there should be no dissection of an arm. An eye should not be cut out of the body. That's not normal. You should not cut your toe off. But that rather members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all members suffer with it. I love how he's made our body. I stuck my finger yesterday, in a rose thorn. Walking along, walked by a rose bush, wham! That little thing right there, it actually went between my fingernail. Right there, and I went, oh. Okay, it caused me to wince, squat, stand up, shake my hand, look at it. It was a little stab of a rose thorn caused my 200-pound frame to, whoa! Why? Because I'm one. I'm one with myself. The body of Christ is one with us. When this person, listen, if Mike gets hurt, if Mike gets injured, if Mike gets poked, all of a sudden, the rest of us who know this are now concerned. Lovingly, I say, we're distracted by it. How is he? What's going on? Is he all right? That is body life. That is like him being the finger and the rest of the body squatting down or shaking the hand or wincing. And as a church, we're to do this. You say, Pastor, I have a fundamental problem with this church. It's too big. I said, listen here. Don't ever try to lay that on me. I came from a church that dwarfs the size of this church. And people in that church are crazy in love with one another because you know what? You see this group over here, okay, you are now on notice. Watch this. This group right here, you began to meet one another every week because come on, you guys sit in the same spot relatively so every same week, don't you, right? Huh? Get to know them. Start getting to know them right here. What's your name? I mean, what's your name? Oh, hey, nice to meet you. And all of a sudden, you start looking for each other each week. Hey, what's going on? Hey, afterwards, we're going to go get some fish tacos. You want to come with us? Right? Amen. Hello, let's go. You know what I'm saying? Start, do you know 10 people around you in your area? That's the church I came from, Lisa, and I did that. And we know those people still to this day, 30 years later. It's a long time. How old is my wife? 29. It's been 29 years. relationship. Everything in the universe is keyed upon relationship with each other. One molecule in the universe needs to get along with the other one from here to the Milky Way. And if it doesn't, you have a nuclear reactor. What about your body? When your body doesn't get along and one cell begins to war against another cell, you know what you call it? Cancer. That's called cancer when a cell doesn't do what it's supposed to do. It's amazing to think relationship coming together.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio in a study that takes a look at the second half of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. This is one of those passages where Paul uses comparative language to illustrate the various gifts that different believers have in the body of Christ. Now, this is actually part of a mini-series we've been hearing over the past several days here on Real Radio about the relevant church. A working church is a living church. That's the title of today's lesson. Again, a working church is a living church. And we'll continue on Monday's edition of Real Radio. All right, let's jump into another Ask Pastor Jack here, being Friday when I drag Pastor Jack into the studio. Thanks for hanging out with us today,
by the way. My pleasure.
This one comes from Jennifer in New Jersey. She says, "Dear Pastor Jack, I wish I would have had your series on love, marriage, and divorce before or even during my marriage. God was not in the middle of my marriage. I failed to make him a priority in my marriage. With that said, by the time my divorce was scheduled for a court date, I did come to realize that my commitment and my promise to God and my husband came first, and that I simply no longer mattered. I wanted to honor my promise to God and to my husband. I asked my husband to please reconcile. He simply said no." Mm-hmm. She says, "I'm now divorced." Mm-hmm. Where does that leave me, Pastor Jack?
Well, you've asked us a question, honestly, Jennifer, that I can answer to some degree on the radio right now. But look, this is a heartfelt question. You have gone through a lot of pain. There's a lot of dynamic to your life. It's not going to be answered in 3 minutes right now. Mm-hmm. What I want to encourage you, Jennifer, to do is go to a really, really stable, strong Bible teaching church and get into counsel with some really godly women who are leaders in that church. Mm-hmm. And go and share with them the whole story, because you're asking, where does it leave you? I can't answer that right now, Jennifer.
Right.
Know this, God loves you and he's the Redeemer. And when we make some of the most terrible mistakes, mm-hmm. and we wake up to it. I mean, Jennifer, you're saying now, oh, I wish I would have known. Okay, great. Listen, God's merciful and gracious.
Right.
But what I want to say to you is, this is a great, great reason why you need to have a very good, stable Bible teaching church and godly women in your life to get you through this time. Mm-hmm. The Lord did not shut his curtains on you. The sun did not set on your faith. It's not over for you. He can redeem it. Here's the thing. What you want to do, Jennifer, what we all want to do from this moment forward, mm-hmm. is make sure that whatever we do it biblically.
Mm-hmm.
So as you meet and pray and share your heart with godly women, they will lead you through chapter and verse of the scriptures. They will prepare you for the next chapter of your life, mm-hmm. to be lived out.
Mm-hmm.
Jennifer, just make sure that you are biblically based in your decision-making from this moment forward. It was a lack of biblically based decision-making that got your marriage into its mess, either by you or your husband or both of you, okay? And you have felt the pain of it. Many listening know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
So you want to stop that and recognize, wow, what did I learn from all this? Wow, I learned if I would have obeyed God in all things, this wouldn't have happened. Or if my husband and I would have obeyed God in all things, this wouldn't have happened.
Right.
So you learn from this, you commit it into the hands of the Lord who forgives,
mm-hmm.
and he restores. And from this moment on, Jennifer, walk in the wisdom of his word, and you will be blessed as you follow Jesus from this time onward.
This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.